Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Austin, go ahead. Tell this to me again, that you were out working on a woman's kitchen cabinet, and you have a cabinetry business?
I got a cabinetry business, which is a mark of cabinetry.
And you're subcontracting on a job right now?
That is correct. I'm doing all new cabinets in this lady's kitchen. She's putting in new appliances. I'm putting in a center island floor with a sink, two dishwashers, pretty much things of one season in new modern kitchens. And I'm subcontracting for Hutch and Butters. They're the generals on the job, and I'm doing all the doors and the cabinets in the kitchens. Plus, I got three more jobs over in Quartz Hill. And I got another job.
Well, now, hold on for a minute. The lady's husband says you're guilty of false advertising.
First off, I'm not guilty of false advertising. I wasn't talking with the husband. I was talking with the wife, who's a real first-class blankety-blank. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And she says I offered a guarantee, which I did not, on the cabinet work.
She wasn't happy with the work.
No, she claimed some of the doors was hung crooked and the stain was uneven, which is total bullcrap. And
all right, getting to the point of this, you have a sign hanging on the side of your truck, and you've got a Yellow Pages ad, which I'm looking at, for a mark of cabinetry. Is that your business?
That's been my business since 1989, yes, sir.
All right, it says 100% satisfaction guaranteed.
That's correct.
All right, and you don't mean that?
That's a figure of speech. That's what you use, and I tried to explain that to the husband.
What do you mean, a figure of speech?
When you see an ad that says 100% satisfaction guaranteed, you don't think every business actually means that.
Well, I don't know why they put it in an ad if they didn't mean it.
It's a figure. It's an advertising cliche that people put into advertising in the Yellow Pages, places like that. It's a figure of speech that many businesses use, and they really don't mean it because it's impossible to guarantee 100% of your work.
Why do you say it then?
Because you're not going to get the contract if you don't say your work's guaranteed.
Do you guarantee any of your work?
Yeah, I guarantee our work 6 months out. Okay?
So what does 100% satisfaction guaranteed mean?
That means that when the job is done, when you look at it, you will be absolutely satisfied.
What do you guarantee?
I guarantee that it's not going to fall apart. I'm not going to guarantee that you're going to think it looks fantastic. That's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. If I get you to build cabinets in my kitchen,
right,
and you hang the doors crooked, and the stain's uneven, that's not guaranteed.
No, but the workmanship is.
Meaning what?
I mean it's not, the doors aren't going to fall off.
All right, so now I got crooked doors, looks like crap, but it's a crappy looking cabinet that's going to...
Look, first of all, I don't do crap work, sir.
I'm not intimating that you do crap work. I'm just asking what the extent of your guarantee is, which you basically guarantee the doors won't fall off.
When I make a cabinet, you better believe you could stick a 300-pound man, and forgive me, I don't mean I'm sure you've read where a lot of mothers have locked children into closets and cabinets, and it's a horrible thing.
That's right.
You could put a child into one of my cabinets, lock them in there, and you...
Well, that is a horrible analogy.
All right, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but that's how strong they are.
Kid couldn't get out.
No, not if you didn't want him to. But I know that's a horrible analogy.
Yeah, that's a horrible analogy, and that's not even what we're talking about. You got a sign that says 100% guaranteed.
Look, it's a figure of speech, you don't take a litter. It's like when you see a sign that says you have free delivery or you're open 24 hours.
Right.
That's bullcrap. Denny says they're open 24 hours, but there's always a lock on the door. So that's bull. Nobody can do that. I got three more jobs I'm starting this summer. There's another sign you see. We beat anyone's price or it's free. That's bullcrap. That does not never happen. They say that just to get you interested. We used to say it because it got a lot of business through the door. Here's another one of people say, we work weekends. We don't work weekends. I haven't worked a weekend in 8 years.
But you say that to get somebody through the door.
That's correct.
Well, isn't that false advertising?
Not if it's a figure of speech.
All right, you say you've been in business since 1989. Have you?
No, sir.
How long have you been in business?
I've been in business the last 8 months.
Then why do you say you've been in business since 1989?
Obviously, it's a cliche. It's a harmless cliche.
Harmless cliche. Okay, well, let me ask you something. You told me that you have a friend of yours who said he's been in business since 1950. That's bullcrap, too.
Well, yeah, the guy's only 48. He was born in 1952.
Then why would he say he's been in business since 1950?
Because you always see that. Anytime you look in the Yellow Pages, anytime you look on a guy's business, it'll say, like, Murphy Brothers Funeral Home, whatever, since, and then they have like a year?
Yeah, since 1950, 1989.
It looks cool. To, you know, like, since like 1853, well, hell, you ain't been around.
Well, then why don't you say a Marka cabinetry in business since 1853?
Because that would be a lie. I've not been alive that long.
Oh, I see. No, I don't see. So, in other words, that's a lie.
That's a blatant lie. But it's just a cliche. And
it's just stretching the truth that you've only been in business for 8 months, but you say you've been in business since 1989.
That is correct. It don't hurt nobody.
Unbelievable.
It don't hurt nobody to say you've been in business longer than you have. Who does it hurt?
Somebody who wants to get some work done in their house, and they may be looking for a contractor that's reliable.
I do damn good work.
Well, you do damn good work, and I'm not going to disbelieve that you do damn good work. The lady here says that you didn't do the job to her satisfaction.
Right, but the thing that pissed me off, and the thing that will piss off most contractors, is the woman gets pissed off, but then she has her husband come and deal with it. Now, that pissed me off.
Why? Most women don't know enough about a lot of that stuff, or they're afraid they'll be intimidated.
Well, what you think? I'm going to wet my pants when I see your husband?
No, but maybe you guys talking man to man can work this thing out.
Well, he's just as stupid as her.
He's stupid. He's looking at a sign that says 100% satisfaction guaranteed that your business is offering.
No, we are not.
Well, that's what the sign says.
In the Yellow Pages.
In the Yellow Pages. Now the guy comes to you and says, hey, look, the work you did for me isn't that great, and your sign says 100% satisfaction guaranteed, and you say what?
That doesn't apply.
It doesn't apply.
That's correct.
All right, so I go to you and I say, hey, Mr. Marka, this cabinet work you did for me, I don't really like it, so would you come in and fix it because I'm supposed to be satisfied?
Well, that's a figure of speech.
Yeah, but it says in your ad 100% satisfaction guaranteed.
We don't really mean it.
All right, well, I'm going to go to the Better Business Bureau and have you sued for false advertising.
You can't sue for false advertising unless it's something that we promise we'll do.
And you don't think...
I asked this stupid SOB, I asked if he's that stupid, that he don't know it's just a cliche, and he said to me he ain't stupid. I said, well, it's just a cliche.
Well, you can look in the Yellow Pages. When we go to a break, Mike, get a Yellow Pages and we'll look at them. And I want to read this stuff and you tell me which of this stuff is bullcrap and which isn't. These are all advertising slogans that are used. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Been in business since 1950. We work weekends. All of that is...
Oh, yeah, it's just a figure of speech.
A figure of speech. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This guy is a construction subcontractor, does cabinet work in new homes, and he has an advertisement, I should say, in the Yellow Pages, which says 100% satisfaction guaranteed, and he says, no, I don't mean that. That's just a figure of speech. I said, what is your guarantee? 6 months, the workmanship is, you know, doesn't fall apart, but if it's the stain's bad and the doors are hung crooked, it ain't my problem. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, Austin, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you have a business, a cabinetry business. You say that that anytime you see an advertising slogan like 100% satisfaction guaranteed, that's just that's bull crap, or...
Well, it's not total bull crap. It's a figure of speech. You can't hold people to it. This lady that I did the cabinetry work for, you can... You know, she...
Well, what she told us, okay...
I think it was damn good work.
She told us there's 3 inches... You can see 3 inches into the cabinet. The doors are hung crooked. And you told her what? That with use it'll settle?
That's exactly correct. When you use the cabinet enough, everything will settle and it'll look great.
How's it going to settle when it's hanging 3 inches too low and you can see into the cabinet?
Look, you don't know anything about construction. When you do cabinet work... You cannot just throw it up there, but everything will just give it about 6 months. I told her that when I'm not busy, I'll come back and try to straighten things out.
You're busy. You got a lot of jobs. You got 3 jobs in Quartz Hills. You're going to all these places. This lady's not happy.
Right now is my busy time. This is summertime. But she's trying to hold me to advertising slogan I ever come across that wasn't a bunch of bull is the one that Maytag about not needing repairs. Now, they make a good product.
Maytag. Is that the...
A washing machine.
And they don't need repairs. Well, forget about Maytag for a minute, all right? Let's talk about you and your business.
I told her that I would come back in 6 months when I wasn't real busy and adjust everything. But I'm very, very busy right now. And as I said, I will allow if I were her for it to settle, and she ain't buying it. Now that makes me look like a dirtbag. And then on top of that, having her husband talk to me, I've got a mind not to come back and fix anything.
Well, I got to tell you something, man. You know, I've dealt with construction contractors in my life and subcontractors, and that kind of attitude is the very thing that pisses off a lot of people.
I don't care. I don't care if it pisses them off. I do the best possible work.
Well, you know what? What you're letting us all know is the next time we open up the Yellow Pages and we see your ad and it says 100% satisfaction guaranteed, we're not going to buy anything from you.
Well, if you can get it done better...
I guarantee I could probably get it done better by somebody else.
Well, I doubt it. I'm the best cabinetry man in the Santa Clarita Valley. And right now, you can look...
Look, I'm looking at the Yellow Pages right now. It says Fast Emergency Service. I'm not going to tell you the business.
That's bullcrap.
How do you figure that's bullcrap?
What if the guy... If you call that guy, whoever he is, and he claims Fast Emergency Service, and you're calling from the next county, how fast is he going to get to you?
What about this one here? No service charge.
Baloney. They always charge your service charge.
Free house call.
That's bullcrap.
These are all from the Yellow Pages.
Go ahead.
Here's a We Are the Solution.
Yeah, right.
Here's one, 51 years in business.
That's total, utter horse crap. Okay, what do you mean 51 years in business? Under the same owner? Under different owners? As a workman, I know that the reason why we put that stuff in the Yellow Pages is to get people to call us up.
And business is good for you.
I got all kinds of jobs.
Even though I've got your name out on the air, Austin Amarca, you hung some lady's cabinet doors crooked.
It doesn't make any difference, because like I said, it'll all settle. And
it'll all settle. I got a house that I bought like a year and a half ago, okay? And I've got cracks in the side of the house. Is that from settling?
I don't know. Maybe the foundation was poured wrong. Look, these people can't tell me that everybody out there doesn't know that these things are just a figure of speech, that they're only idiots that would sue.
Only idiots would sue. I call it false advertising. Here's one here. It says fast response.
You can't tell what's going to be fast response.
Here's one here. 24 hours, 7 day emergency repair.
Bullcrap.
So they don't have 24-hour day, 7 day a week?
No, you don't know who's going to be on call. You don't even know if you're going to get through to somebody. What that means is they got an answering machine that's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't mean you're going to get anybody.
I wonder what the law is when it comes to false advertising. I wonder whether...
False advertising means you're going to do something.
Well, 100% satisfaction guaranteed?
Nope.
All right, and here's another one here. We'll be there today, guaranteed.
That's bull crap.
Now, wait a second. The guy says he's going to be there today, guaranteed.
That's total and utter bull crap.
And then finally, we got one here, sales and service, installation on most makes and models. Bullcrap?
Bullcrap.
Okay, great. So what I'm not going to do anymore is read the Yellow Pages. How about that?
Well, no, read the Yellow Pages. I spent a lot of money for my ad.
Great. What is up with that guy? The guy says 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so people take his word for it, and he says that's a figure of speech. He hangs the doors crooked. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I just want to say that I have to say I am so surprised that he's even a journalist. I don't think he has any idea what he's saying.
I'm a gay journalist.
Well, I don't care what you are. You are setting back the gay community by over 10 years with what you're saying.
And who am I speaking to?
Cindy.
Who is it? Patricia Ireland?
Whoever it is that you're talking to, I don't think you realize the impact that you're having on gay community.
No, all I'm saying is that on the...
you're making yourself sound like an idiot, and
ma'am,
it makes the gay community sound like they're idiots.
Well, ma'am, you may
disagree.
And that's
not the way they are.
Well, you may be homophobic, there'll be a lot of things, okay, but I
am not homophobic.
I grew up
with gay people all my life. Surprisingly enough, I am not gay because I don't choose to be gay.
Well,
but you just came out of the closet 6 months ago, yet you're on the air stating
I've
all
been,
these
I've been through
untruthful
hell.
Things. There is not such a thing as a homo radiator or whatever it is that you do.
I said it's
I'm
homo.
I'm sorry. You
oh,
are
really?
A pathetic person,
the straight,
and you should not
lady.
Speak for the
so,
gay community.
I really love these little short, and you're short, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm 5'7".
Well, you sound like a little short, straight woman.
Well, I'm
who's
not.
Who's going to start taking...
And that goes to show how you're gay.
You know how I know you're homophobic? Work. You know how I know you're homophobic? You said that I chose
I
to be gay.
I am not homophobic.
Well, then you
I
shouldn't...
am not homophobic. I
you
have had about so many roommates that are gay. I grew up in a gay community.
Okay, but
I have
nobody
been to
chooses
San Francisco.
It.
I have been everywhere right. with my gay friends.
But nobody chooses it. That's how I know you're homophobic.
Excuse
you said
me?
You said that people choose homosexuality. We don't. We're born into it. All right, so that proves you're homophobic,
no,
number
one.
No, I
choose not to be gay.
Number two,
okay.
nobody chooses to be gay.
My friends do not choose to be gay. They
nobody
are gay. There's a
gay.
Difference. Now, you
nobody
being out of the closet 6 months would
right.
not know that.
I am gay, and I'm a gay journalist, okay? And
how
I will
how
turn,
old are you, might I ask?
I'm 38 years old.
And you just came out of the closet 6 months ago?
And
if you were gay, you should have come out of the closet
look at,
like when you
Doug,
were 10.
Doug, there's people who've been out of the closet for 20 years.
What's the difference?
Well, just some people who've been down the road.
You're not gay because you're
gay.
You're gay because you choose to be gay. 6 months is choosing to be gay.
Why didn't you choose to be gay?
Oh, when was your first encounter then?
No, I'm asking you. Why didn't you choose to be gay?
Because I'm not attracted to the
females. Oh, you hate
fags,
is that it?
I'm attracted to men.
So you hate fags.
There's a difference.
So you hate gay people.
No, I don't. I love them.
That's not what she said.
Well, if you loved them, then you'd be gay. Why aren't you? I'm a gay man. Do you know that I'm gay?
Yeah, I hear you. You're gay.
Okay, and I'm a gay journalist. You know that.
Yeah, you made it quite clear, unfortunately.
Well, I don't know whether you're hearing it or whether, you know, but my homovision on Sunday night is going to determine who's
Sir,
lying.
Sir, there is no such thing as homovision. What you're trying to do is get some free tickets
no,
to
ma'am.
Get yourself to the Academy
no,
Award.
No, ma'am.
That's what
get
I think
life,
it is. That's what I think
West
it is.
LA
no, ma'am.
And get screwed if
my
you have
personal
to,
life.
You do not deserve to be at the Academy Award.
Are you a fag
and
hag?
You discredit all gay people, so please don't speak on their behalf.
Cindy, are you a fag hag?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay, there, I knew it. So, in other words, you get your jollies... kind of hanging around
I
with gay men.
I said I was a fag hag when I called in.
You get your jollies.
And no, I don't get my jollies off of anything,
you get your jollies. Well, why don't you hang around with some healthy straight men?
I do have healthy straight men friends. I choose to have gay friends because I
yeah.
embrace them
she
a
has
lot more.
She has gay friends and...
Well, Mr. Henry, who's talking to you?
Well,
what
I'm
are
the
you talking about?
I'm the host of the show, don't I get...
I don't want the host of the show butting in while I'm talking to you, Cindy. Number one, I am gay, all right? Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
All right. Number two, if I don't get those tickets, a lot of people are going to get outed.
Now, you are threatening to out people whose reputations can be seriously damaged, if not ruined. Why would you do that? Because you can't sit in the first 10 rows.
Exactly.
Because, as I tried to explain to Cindy, people need the benefit of my homo vision. And the biggest problem... oh, laughing, huh?
I think you're not. I
the,
really do.
Ma'am, the biggest problem...
I think you need to, like, go to the loony bin.
Well, you know what I think? You
want to
know what
closet.
I think? I think the biggest problem the gay community has today is an overabundance. We are just overrun with fag hags.
Well, I
like
think
you.
Well, whatever it is that
crawling
you think, I really don't care as long as you stay in the closet. Because you do a total disservice to the gay community. And that's what I'm here to tell you.
I'm a gay man
that's
and a gay
it.
Journalist.
I'm
the
not,
Academy
okay,
of Motion
Picture
Arts
if you
want to
be gay,
science,
fine. But
gay.
You know what? Don't represent the gay community.
But the problem is you don't want to be gay.
Because you're not doing them any help at all.
I'm helping the gay community by getting my homo vision into that theater. All right?
And how do you know that there aren't other...
I honestly think you need to seek some psychiatric help.
Oh, here we go. Okay, what?
Ma'am,
the American, the American Psychiatric Association ruled out homosexuality as a mental illness in the 1950s.
Well,
so
you're definitely mentally ill, I'll tell
road.
You that much.
Well, oh, so,
so
you think being gay is,
right.
So you think being gay is so you think being gay is a
no,
mental disease?
No, I think
disease.
You have a problem. That's what
I
I'm saying.
I think, you know, I really think you ought to put on a big mink coat and put your makeup on and, you know, use lipstick as eyeliner or whatever you do. Go
I'm
out with all of your
industry,
fag friends.
Come to think of it.
Go dancing in some gay club with all your gay friends and just ignore the
I've
fact.
I've been there, done that, honey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not like you. I haven't been out of the closet 6 months.
No.
I've been a fag hag all my life.
You've been a fag hag your whole life. You're straight.
Yes.
And you don't have homo vision and you're jealous. And, boy,
no,
I
think
hate to
you're
be
jealous
you.
Of the Academy Award people that are going to be
right,
there.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. All of the people in the Academy are going to have good seats, and you got to sit in the tent. You got to sit
not.
Backstage
and you're not.
With all of the press,
what,
okay?
They're not going to invite you.
You know what? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm sitting in the
what
room.
What does it matter what you are?
I'm
you're not going to get
okay.
invited, and especially
well, what
with
does it matter
the attitude
whether you're
that you will get nowhere near the Academy Award.
You're jealous
award.
That you don't
so
have homo vision. You need to sit back, relax your crack, and learn something. We'll be right back.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
It's an area that maybe not a lot of people have experience with, but since we've been through it, my wife and I, the last year and a half, contractors, guys that build stuff at your house, man, these guys, you can go either way. I mean, I've met some that are fantastic. We had some doors put into the house we lived in before we moved into the house we're in now. We put some doors in. This guy that did the job's fantastic. I'd give you his name right now, but I don't want him bugged by a bunch of creeps. You know, nothing against you guys listening, but some of you are cranks and weirdos, and you'll bother him with your stupid phone calls. But if you really want to know what the guy's name is, give me a call sometime. I'll let you know, okay? Maybe I'll invite you over to the house for coffee. You can see the doors. Oh, I don't live there anymore. Well, we'll drive by. In any event, he did a great job. He was fair. He was fast. And here's the thing. If you hire anybody to do crap at your house, they got to be fast, man. Otherwise, you're living in a construction zone for like a year. Take it from me. I don't care. You know, someday, if you don't own a house right now, someday you will. And someday you're going to say, wow, I'd like to put in new doors. Wow, I'd like to do this. Wow, I'd like to do that. And you hope and pray that you hire the right guy to do the gig. Believe me when I tell you, the first thing you got to do, you got to build in some kind of a timetable. Otherwise, these guys take forever. And the other thing about a lot of these construction contractors, they think the whole world is just weighing upon their shoulders. They think everybody's being unfair. They think everybody's request is unreasonable. Let me tell you what's unreasonable. We go into a recession, Jack. You're going to be sitting on your ass for a long time. You won't have any work. Don't come crying to me. These guys, the guy that put in my pool, the people that do all it, they take forever. And when you call them up and you bug them, then you get a real story. I actually had somebody say this to me. I could have gone down there and strangled this creep. The guy says this to me. Hey, if you keep bothering me, I may not get the job done for another 6 months. This is the guy said this to me. It was all I could do not to pick up one of my kids and throw them through a window. Naturally, I wasn't going to go do anything to him, but it was all I could do. The first handy thing was one of the kids. I was going to throw them out the window. Of course, I'm kidding. I have to say that because I know many of you may take me seriously and write a letter and yada, yada, yada. No, but so that's why I seems to me the guy says 100% satisfaction guaranteed. The guy means 100% satisfaction guaranteed unless he says we're only kidding underneath it. You know, like Mad Magazine with the asterisk? 100% satisfaction guaranteed. There's an asterisk. You look down at the fine print. Unless it's Thursday and it's raining and we happen to be in another state and we can't answer the phone. That's probably what they mean. All right, this is the Phil Hendry Show, and I'm your host, and I've been on a diet, and I've started my way back to being skinny again because I was down to 226. I told you, I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday, but I got on the scale last night. Did I mention that I'm up to 240? I got on the scale last night, and yeah, Craig's again. Yay, Phil, you fat pig, you've put on 14 pounds. Way to go. I'm back up to 240 pounds. Hey, look at this. Susan Smith's on TV. They got her back in jail about something? Or she's in jail. Isn't she the one that killed the kids? I think they're going to let her out. I think they realized that it wasn't such a terrible thing that she did. Anyway, well, all she did was drown two kids in a car. It can happen. It's a mistake. So anyway, I'm up to 240 pounds, and I said, well, I got to do something about that. So I looked back at the exercise cycle this morning, and I got back on it, and, you know, I'm back on the diet today. The only thing I'm doing off the diet is I'm chewing some Clorets. That's 10 calories. But here's the thing. As I was on that bike this morning, and I'm pumping away, and I hadn't been on it for a couple of weeks because we took the week off, and then last week was 4th of July, and naturally a whole bunch of stuff. And Marie said to me, you know how you put on the weight? It was all the chips and salsa that you're eating. I love chips and salsa. I like corn chips, and I like good hot salsa. That's just my thing, okay? Call me strange. It's something I like. I could eat that for dinner. I like good baked corn chips, heavily salted, and a delicious, hot, spicy salsa. Now, that's what I eat. And then I sit there and I put on 18 pounds. I got on that freaking bike this morning. I did my 40 minutes, and the memory of that thing came rushing back. It's the torture machine. Because we have it sitting in one of the offices, and when I walk, it's my wife's office in the house, and when I walk by that thing, I look at it and go, there it is, there's that freaking torture device. And I look at that thing, and I know that I got to get on it. And for 40 minutes, Every day. I know it doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of you guys that are serious weightlifters, serious carb burners, serious carb-loading, carb-burning kind of guys. But for me, 40 minutes on that bike. And today I got on the thing and I go, oh, God, it's going to be 40 minutes. What am I going to do, read the newspaper or something? I don't know what, because I do this kind of level thing. So you get up to, like, one of the heavier levels and your heart rate's up around 140, 145 beats per minute, which is supposed to be what it is when you're 48 years old and you're a fat pig. That's about my weight range. I should be around 140 beats per minute, my prime exercise zone. And it's brutal. You buns of steel kind of guys and gals, you laugh at my 40 minutes, but it sucks for me. Hey, yeah, I did a couple hours at the gym today, and, well, that's fine. Buns of steel. Well, I'm going to a gym. I won't go to another gym as long as I live, and I've got a very good reason why I won't go to a gym. I will not go into another exercise place as long as I live. I got the crabs the last time I went into one of those places. 1979. That's the last time. Crabs on my gym equipment and on me. I won't mention the name of the place, but I'm going to tell you this much. Very, very prominently advertised place. And I looked at this, and you got to get that. I don't want to even go into it, man, but you got to buy all kinds of toxic, poisonous, death to crabs medication and pour it all over your clothes and you and everything. That's the last time that I ever set foot in one of those toilets. Because I don't have a particular thing. I don't want to sit there and wait for the machine to get used by, Igor. And when he climbs off of it, leaving his sweat on it, and he goes over to, like, maybe flirt with some of the chicks doing the aerobics class, then I got to go back and start using it. It sucks. They're crowded. It's hot. Everybody in their thongs and everybody in their Buns of Steel outfit and everyone ripped and everyone dumb. Dumb, ripped Buns of Steel. That's what it ought to say on the box. It's just I'm not into that. I'm a guy, an intellect, fat intellect. Kind of a drinking, cigarette-smoking kind of a guy. Every time I stop down, every maybe 6 months to try to get myself back into shape, have a wheatgrass shake, you know, run around the block a little bit, then I'm back into my decaying, my desolate, my degraded lifestyle, and that's the way I like it. Another 6 months later, I'm back on the treadmill. But to live like that, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, who can do this? How many kicks can you have in life? I don't think those people are having any kicks. I don't care what they say. Any cat that's ripped like that, that's in the gym 2 hours a day, any woman that's out there, you know, jogging and running and kind of hooked into that whole, I hit the wall today, and she's on that endorphin high. I think there's something seriously lacking in their lives. I refuse to believe those people are happy. It's just, they're not. This is, I don't know, I don't have any reason for it, I just don't believe it. I have enough of a sense, many people think I'm hypersensitive, people in my life say I'm very hypersensitive to things. I think a lot of those people with their runner's high, I think they go home and they want to spin the empty chamber of a revolver just to see how it feels. Just put it to their head. It's empty, but they just, you know. I don't care how great your runner's high is, you ain't having no kicks. You got to be able to take a pop every now and again, eat a donut, and smoke a cigarette to really enjoy life. Am I right or am I wrong? All right. You must have sampled tobacco at some time in your life to really dig this world. And at some point, and I say this realizing that there may be children listening, so why don't you do the responsible thing? Why don't you be a parent for a change? Put your hands over their ears, because I want to say this. I think at some point you must recognize that you haven't lived unless you've tried hallucinogenic drugs. All right. I do not believe that it is possible for a man or a woman or any adult to really have said they've tasted life unless they've huffed Glade. All right. Now, some people say to me, well, yeah, but you know what? I don't think you've lived, Henry, unless you've tried bungee jumping. Bullcrap. I'll tell you right now, there's three guys in this room clapping. And they only clapped after the huffing Glade comment. The other time they were on the fence. So there is an argument to be made there about, you know, you have to you have to taste energy and spot remover. No, you have to walk on the edge a little bit. I don't know. Phil Henry Show here. It's summer. 1-800-449-8686. I said it was summer like you didn't know that, right? Look at a calendar. It's summer.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Hendry.
Well, I got into this kick. I was talking to Mike yesterday. I said, you know, movies that have musical artists who try to transition to become actors, and many have. Well, I say many have. Who has? What music? I'm talking about a musician that has transitioned to become a bona fide actor. Will Smith, was he a musician first, or was he sort of, he was a rapper first? Well, when you say rapper, okay, so he's a rapper. All right, Will Smith. Glenn Frey, no. Glenn Frey is not a legitimate actor. Glenn Frey is still a musician that occasionally had a cameo on Miami Vice, and then he was in Jerry Maguire. Ice Cube, maybe, I don't know. If he can, when I see Ice Cube do Othello, then maybe I'll believe. Maybe I'm holding him to too difficult a standard, but there is a little bit of typecasting going on there. I don't know. Ice Cube may say something along the lines of, "You're always making me a gangbanger. I want to do something different, man." Well, what would you like to do, Mr. Cube?
I want to do, I don't know, Merchant of Venice or something. I want to put some tights on.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He's a cop on Law and Order now? Who? Ice Cube? Or Ice-T? Yeah, see, they all sound and look the same to you, you freaking racist. His name's Ice. His name is Mr. Ice-T, by the way. Not Iced-T. I-C-E-D-T-E-A? No, 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 no. We're not talking about the drink. It's Ice-T. Ditto Ice Cube. Well, not ditto Ice Cube. He's just... Ice-T's a very good... He's a pretty good actor. And then you have Henry Rollins, that poor guy. Now, many of you don't even know who the hell it is I'm talking about, but that's what we're famous for in this show, talking about crap that's way over your head. And I don't care. Henry Rollins was in a band called Black Flag, and then had the Henry Rollins Band, and was considered to be... I say considered to be because I really don't know. I saw him in concert once, and I could barely stand it. So, but, you know, I watched long enough to get hip to the notion that he is some kind of a iconoclast. In any event, be that as it may, he may be fantastic for all I know. I guess he tried to break in as an actor, didn't he? Because he was in that movie Heat. Boy, was he an embarrassment in that. Now, what is it that makes a guy like Henry Rollins, for instance, who is supposedly some kind of a edgy guy in music, why would he want to do some kind of mainstream crap like Heat? And beyond that, why would he want to be a cop who gets the crap kicked out of him by Al Pacino? That was the character he played. Henry Rollins is a fairly beefy guy. He gets the crap beat out of him by Al Pacino, who's about 4'6". He was also in a movie called The Chase with Charlie Sheen. These are all movies that Schaefer's seen. I don't even know which one it is. What's that? I don't know. Then there was Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers. He was in a movie called Point Break. Now, here's a movie. Point Break. Did you ever see this? This is, yeah, I know. Craig, what are your favorites? It's a surf movie the way, yeah, okay. It's a surf movie the way the Munster Mobile was a dragster. I mean, yeah, all right. It's a peripheral... Sort of a peripheral a relationship to surfing in that film. Now, the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers was in that, and the only thing I saw, I turned that movie on long enough to see him get shot in the foot and go, ah! I guess Flea must have been in it too, right? Because those two guys are, you know, they're like this. And when I say they're like this, you don't know what I'm doing, do you? Yeah, so Point Break. Now, that's a movie that I saw. I was walking into the Bank of America in Culver City, and I was getting a check cash. Now, Point Break is a surf movie. It stars Patrick Swayze and the guy Keanu Reeves and Gary Busey. And it's about an undercover FBI agent who infiltrates a coven of surfers in California to find out whether or not they're pulling bank jobs, right? That's basically it. And in the process, he becomes extremely good friends with the leader of this surfing group and falls in love with one of the surf chicks. And it's the classic, wow, you know, my heart is torn. Should I be loyal to my good buddy and the chick that I'm now shacking up with? Or should I stay loyal to the oath that I took with the FBI as a law enforcement agent? Well, gee, I wonder which. Yeah, it's a tough one, man. Do I hang out with surfers making about $50 a week when they're not robbing banks, collecting bottles in the vacant lot, or do I stay with my chosen career, the FBI, something that I had to have a law degree to get into in the first place? Now, as I explain this movie, Craig tells me the movie actually sounds ridiculous with me explaining it. I'm telling you, man, that's exactly what this flick is. You dug the movie because you thought it had high drama. It's the dumbest freaking thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, in this film, oh, and a cat who is the head of the surf coven is Johnny Utah. Oh, no, that's the FBI guy. Keanu Reeves' name is Johnny Utah. Not to be confused with Johnny Ringo or Johnny Rebel. You got to be putting me on, man. I didn't know that. His name's Johnny Utah. Is that his given name or is that a code name? I've never known any guy named like all these names you got like in the movies. Johnny Utah, Bob Bitch. You know, I bet you they would have a cop show now. NYPD's Bob Bitch. Starring in, I get it, It's a Bitch. You got it. Okay, now we got the name of the show. I'm going to pitch that to networks next week. Here's your new TV show, man. It's going to be a cop. He's a detective. He's in New York. The name of the show is It's a Bitch. What's the name of the cop? Eddie Bitch. Oh, okay. And I bet you Johnny Utah was a former college star quarterback at Utah. Now he's an FBI agent. Yeah, you want to be in the FBI, huh? Yes, sir. What's your name? Johnny Utah? Okay. First thing you got to do is change the freaking name, because nobody's going to believe you're a real guy. All right? Well, Johnny Utah, No. You play guitar? Go play guitar, man. That's a good name for a cat that plays guitar. So Johnny Utah infiltrates this coven of surfers starring Patrick Swayze and his girlfriend, somebody or other. And in one scene in the movie, it's pretty cool, the FBI raids the surf house with Keanu Reeves leading the charge as he holds his badge up at the door and says, Special Agent Johnny Utah. Everybody inside collapses with laughter. What are you guys talking about, man? Yeah, Johnny Utah, that's a good one. I'm Johnny Utah, and I want in. Oh, okay. Well, I'm Elliot Ness, man. I'm taking a shower, so. And I don't know what the hell happens, but he gets into a big fight with one of the guys, and one of these cats tries to push his face into a rotating lawnmower blades, which are eventually stopped with the pistol fire of Gary Busey. I'm at a bank in Culver City 10 years ago, while this movie is being filmed. Now, if you saw Point Break, you know there is a bank robbery scene where they're all wearing the masks of presidents, and they have this wild chase that ensues. Well, that bank was the Bank of America in Culver City. I was in there one day getting a check cashed or deposited, and sitting in the lobby of the bank were the different chairs with the actors sitting in them. They used that bank as the staging area for the exterior shots, which was the chase and all this bullcrap. And was James LaGrosse in this movie? There was some blonde guy sitting in one of the chairs holding his rubber president mask and saying something along the lines of, okay, did you catch that performance? Okay, what I did in that performance is... nobody was listening to him. He was just babbling about his performance wearing the Jimmy Carter mask. It's pretty heavy. And I watched the movie the other night. The only reason why I watched it, Craig, was to see if I was in it. You know, if there were some interior shots, like I was standing there, hey, you know, waving. Sure, we'll keep that in. Phil Hendry Show.